For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, August the 31st, 1986. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Steve Bell of Richardson, Texas, is the teacher of the afternoon. This is a deliverance service.
Father, we thank you for your word that sets us free, for the blood of Jesus by which we overcome him, the adversary, by the word of our testimonies. And thank you, Father, that you're delivering us of fear, that we fear not even laying down our lives.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you that this afternoon, that Father, Lord, for those, Lord, that are reaching out to you, that they're not being left undone, that the enemy can't hide anything away. Father, you send the hornets of the Lord into the land, into our land, and drive out the adversary where he hides, behind the bushes and under the rocks. Flush him out today, Lord. Flush him out, Father, that, Lord, we might rout him and have a great victory. Father, we come to bind the strong man that we may spoil his house this day.
Yes,
we bind the principalities and powers, rulers. In Jesus' name, all the workings of curse that might want to come up from the earth, we bind it now. We set this place apart. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for that mantle of blood, Lord, now that covers us. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, right now. Praise you, Lord. That you've given us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, God, that we might be clean vessels, Lord, that transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. First of all, I just want to clean up some questions that some of you have. Remember, spirit, soul, body. God made man. How's it go there in Genesis? Breathing into the breath of life, and man became what? A living soul. Now, brethren, unless I'm deceived, I'm not yet a spirit. Don't think I ever totally will be, because when Jesus was resurrected, he said, "Feel me." He says, "A spirit does not have flesh and bone." Isn't that right? And yet there are those today that are preaching that you're a spirit. Well, I don't walk through a wall yet, but I'm sure looking forward to that. I'd like to be able to do that. So I'm a soul, and the soul has the emotions, it has the mind, the intellect, the will involved in it. And see, it's between the spirit and the body. So it either goes spiritual or it goes carnal, so to speak. Not that the body's necessarily carnal, but the flesh. And we are a soul, and we have emotions and these things. We either yield them to God or we yield them to the flesh. See, and our emotions can be glorious if they're yielded to God, where we express. As I was saying one night, I was watching an old TV thing back when I used to watch it. You know, we had quite a bout with TVs. We threw them out. And then we'd bring them back in, and then we sold them, and then we'd buy us one. And now we have a 4-inch TV, black and white, and once in a while we watch the news, and that's about all. And try to just keep in touch, you know. But anyway, one night I was watching an old thing on TV, and I was sitting there, you know, kind of puckered up and crying. And the Lord spoke to me, and He said, "Son, you're giving away your emotions to a fantasy." He says, "I gave you those emotions to be offered up to me." And I began to see what God was saying, that those emotions are for him, not for some movie or some fantasy or some fictitious experience, see. God wants our emotions yielded to him and to the Spirit of God. Amen? So somebody thought I didn't believe in the soul. What month was that? Was that the Sadducees didn't believe in the soul or whatever it was? I don't know. Anyway, one other thing. I want to read you something. I didn't get to cover. I thought about 100 things last night that I'd like to have covered that I didn't get to, but just the Lord. So Lord, there's so much in me, I can't get it all out. I mean, really, that's, and it's such a blessing to be here. It's been so long where I've been somewhere where the anointing was drawn out. I really mean that. And I just realized today as I was just laying down for a minute that the people in the Dallas area are under something. They're like zombies now. I mean, I just was laying there thinking about some of the groups I've ministered to in the area, and there's something on them. They're just dull and in a stupor. Even some of the best of them. And we'll talk about principalities in a little bit here. But Brother George Warnock just sent me his latest book. It's Beauty for Ashes, Part 2, A Way Through the Wilderness. And, boy, it's really good. I just want to read you something out of it. I know you know how to read, but just listen to this. It talks about the conflict with Moab. See, this was right before they were going to come up to the brook Zered. And Zered means to be exuberant in growth. And it's at the point, there's a turning point in the journeys of the new generation. All the old generation had died out. They'd been out there 38 years. And he says this, God would not let Israel attack Moab, even as he would not let them attack Edom. But the presence of the people of God dwelling so close to their borders filled the Moabites with great fear. And they hired Balaam the sorcerer to come and curse the people of God. Israel's conflict through the main part of their wilderness life was really with their own hearts. But now as the people of God begin to emerge from the wilderness way, there's a new conflict. A conflict with false gods and with evil spirits. We're in that day right now. What was once but a human attack, a war of reason, an attack of the flesh, is quickly becoming a war against spirits. Now see, brethren, the people that are out fighting humanism and those things now are warring against the flesh. And we're not going to win those kind of wars. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, powers. If you get in that realm, you'll get in the flesh. See? Evil spirits are assuming control in many areas of society and of the church, and God's people are finding it increasingly difficult to know what is right and what is wrong. The time is now here when these demonic forces, which once operated in the East, in gurus, medicine men, etc., are now beginning to take up strong positions in the church. God many times said to Israel, I'm going to send you an east wind. And the east wind is blowing across the church and bringing in the eastern religions and the eastern spirits of shamanism and Hinduism and all these things guised as Christianity. And Christians are unaware of it because it's nicely clothed in Christian language. When the people of God are misled into thinking that the kingdom of God is related to power and authority over this world's resources, over its governments, over its political and economic forces, when the kingdom of God is presented as something synonymous with success, prosperity, and wealth, there and then Satan has found a fertile soil into which he can plant the seeds of deception. Even physical health can be a deceptive thing if we use questionable power to tap into it. For why would Satan deny us physical health if we use satanic methods to get it? It's a real healing if Satan should, is it a real healing if Satan should withdraw his attack on our body so long as he can retain control of our spirit? As it is, in fact, is it in fact a real healing? The alleviation of pain and deliverance from certain physical afflictions has long been associated with the practices of the occult. Is it healing? No. It is but a sedative that the enemy imparts in order that he might take control of the minds and spirits of the people. That's strong. That's a man 69 years old. He's walked through the fire. And I was privileged to spend almost 3 days with Brother Warnock this past winter, just by the hand of God doing it. And what a blessing it was. What a blessing it was. Hallelujah. Was he? Praise God. I see.
You'll be here later.
Yeah. Yeah, all praise God. Hallelujah. He doesn't get up and holler, shout, raise his voice. He just stands in one place and delivers the word. But if you can hear what he's saying, I tell you, I'm not trying to exalt a man, but there's a gift in him, a real gift in him. And you know, Brother Tommy and I were talking last night about how we're going to come into sonship. And you know, today as I was reading and just preparing what the Lord wanted me to bring, he kind of changed directions on me here at the last. Brother, I'm just going to have to say more and more, if I would say which way I lean, how to come into sonship, I'm leaning more and more that it's through death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Now, Linda had a dream one night that she and I were shot. We were at an airport in Red China. 9 years ago, the Lord gave me a vision. I was at a full gospel businessmen's luncheon that I would minister in Red China. And 9 years ago, Red China was a closed country to the gospel. And I thought, how could such a thing be? And we were shot there, and Pat Robinson was in the dream. We were with Pat Robinson in Red China, and we were shot down getting ready to get on the plane. And she said she saw the flowers there and everything, and it didn't even hurt. We just joined hands and just went down like that. And that doesn't scare me at all. Yeah, took the fear of death away. Fear of martyrdom. Hallelujah. There's two primary areas I believe the Lord wants me to cover today. And I'm going to try to get to it. But there's one primary thrust that God wants for you today. He wants you to deliver you of your primary enemy, and one of your biggest enemies is you. The enemy uses you. And I want us to look at that in the Word of God. Now, you've heard the story. I mean, you've read about it in Job. Go over to Job 1. We'll just look at it. Most of you know about it. Although I've learned not to really take those things for granted too much. I was hatched under a Babylonian hen like most of us. But I praise God for some of the things I learned in Bible school and Sunday school as a Baptist. I got some good Bible bases. Wasn't in the spirit, but I learned where the books of the Bible were, and I learned where the stories of the Bible and some of those things, and I praise God for that. And sometimes I assume that everybody's been there, and not everybody has. And remember the story in verse 6, chapter 1 of Job. It says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan," and that word for Satan here is adversary. Adversary. "The Lord said to the adversary, 'From where do you come?' So adversary answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it.' The Lord said to adversary, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and turns away from evil?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him, around his household and around all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.'" Now, the point is this. The adversary was there in the courts of heaven, appearing before the Lord, accusing the man of God. Now, we could go to Zechariah. We could see the same thing again in Zechariah 3, 1 through 5. We'll not take time to do it. But the adversary is there accusing Joshua before the throne of God to God, accusing this man of God to God. All right? And in Psalm 109:6, it says, "Set a wicked man over him, let an accuser stand at his right hand." The accuser. The accuser. Now, over in Luke 10, there's a familiar passage, at least to deliverance people. And you remember Jesus sent out the 70 to minister, and he sent them out. And in this commission, he didn't Luke didn't give it quite the same as Matthew, where Matthew said, you know, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, so forth. But when they came back from their mission, the primary thing that they were rejoicing about, that demons were subject to them. And so, in verse 17, it says, then the 70 returned, Luke 10:17, with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, and I'm going to change a few words here as I dug them out. Jesus said, I watched the adversary having fallen like lightning from heaven, out of heaven. I watched the adversary having fallen like lightning out of heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now let's go to Revelation with fear and trembling to chapter 12. Revelation 12. Now I'm not authority on Revelation. I've stayed away from that book. I used to know everything there was about it. I used to could draw charts. I could quote Ironside and Schofield, and I knew Revelation. Until I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And then, the Lord just took it all away from me. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. And anyway. Now, I don't know how else to do, but just kind of read through it. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Now, who knows who the woman is? The church. All right, does anybody have... Well, I'm not going to ask you that. We're just going to assume that. We're not going to debate it. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. Heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, threw them to the earth. Boy, there's something about stars, isn't there? And the dragon... I bet Brother Tommy can preach on that. Praise God. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she born a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So the woman has a child. The child is caught up into heaven before it's devoured by the dragon. The woman flees into the wilderness. Now, who's in the wilderness? Hello, wilderness folks. Why did she go to the wilderness? To get away from the dragon. And who fed her? Huh? Well, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. What do you eat in the wilderness? Manna. Hallelujah. Does it satisfy your flesh? No. But it gives you everything you need. Remember that. Remember, not what you want, but what you need. All right. Principle. I love to teach principles. See, last night on the witchcraft thing is the principles we're after. Not accusing people, but just get the principles and then you'll know. You'll discern it. See? 7. And war broke out where? In heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. There's that word prevail. Where's that word prevail again? Behold, I give you keys to the kingdom, and the gates of hell will what? Will not prevail against you. Prevail to me is a word long-term in meaning, where something goes on and goes on and goes on, and eventually it does not prevail, okay? It's not a short-term word to me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To prevail. It's kind of an enduring word. Endurance, a word of endurance. So evidently this war went on for a while. And they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven for any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, and that serpent of old called the slanderer, devil, that word is slander, and Satan adversary, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Now listen to me, brethren. I believe I got something for you. And it's basically this. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to tell you what I told you. You have no longer an adversary in heaven. There is no one in heaven to accuse you anymore. Jesus saw him fall. And brethren, I believe he fell when the 70 went out. I really do. The Lord showed me this. Hallelujah. I see wheels turning. Now the question is when is the book of Revelation? What is the chronology of this book? And the Lord showed me not to get caught up in chronology of this book. Because chapter 12 doesn't necessarily follow chapter 11 in chronology. Okay? And God showed me that chapter 12, much of it's already happened in a first fruits fulfillment. See? Alright? Alright, now I'm not trying to get deep. I got in trouble in deep stuff. Deep stuff has deceived some people and gotten them out of deliverance. They got a better way now. They're getting into deep teachings and pride and frustration and bondage. There's a simplicity of this gospel that sets us free. You know, a brother's having a banner. He wanted to make a banner for us when we travel. And you know what the banner is? With God, all things are possible. And you know, that's the gospel. There's not a thing in here today that's impossible. There's not a situation. There's not a problem. There's not anything in here that's impossible with God. With man it is, but with God, there's not an impossible circumstance in this room. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I want you to hear that. Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. Not even you. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he'd been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she's nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Now what's the flood that's coming out of the dragon's mouth? What is that water? I believe it's words. Accusations, curses. The words that come, accusations, curses. He can't curse us in heaven anymore. He can't accuse us before the throne anymore. Why? Because we have a great high priest that's gone into heaven with his own blood and cleansed the sanctuary of God of the contamination of that rebellion. And he's ever interceded at the right hand of the Father for you and me. And God can't hear an accusation against his saints. Get it? The Father can't hear it because there's an advocate in heaven that receives it and washes it in the blood, and all the Father can hear of his people is a blood-washed, blood-bought, redeemed people of God. Hallelujah. You have no enemies in heaven, and the only way that he can accuse you is through people. And the biggest job he does is when you look in the mirror. That's your problem. And God wants you free. God wants you free. If you get into this thing of deliverance and start a demon hunt, you're going to go down a dead end road. If you go away from this camp worrying about the demons that you didn't get cast out, you'll go away in defeat. Because chances are we're not going to get all of them. God's not going to let us. Okay? but go away rejoicing for what did get taken care of. Dwell on that. And say, Lord, I'm yielded to you, and you know when we're ready to take the next block of length.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you're getting this. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise,
praise God. See, it's too good to be true. The gospel is unbelievable to the carnal mind. It's foolishness to the carnal mind. The carnal mind says, that's foolish. That's crazy. But something in the old spirit man jumps up and says, whoa, boy, I want to get a hold of that. Hallelujah. Whoop, got my Bible upside down. Hallelujah. What are you trying to tell me, Father? Let's look in Deuteronomy. You know, Jesus quoted out of that book more than any other. You know that? Isn't that interesting? Deuteronomy. Am I right about that? Or am I wrong? Hallelujah. What am I looking for? I'm looking for, it says, where he gives you the land little by little. Exodus what? Exodus 29. Let's look at that. It's in Deuteronomy 2. It's in the book. Yeah, it's in the book. It is written, see, Jesus said. That got me out of bondage? See, I was talking the other night about how Brother Jack, we were talking. I'm so glad you told us that, Glenn, about Brother Jack, how he quotes those scriptures. Because, see, I thought he'd memorized all that, and I was getting under condemnation. I thought, man, I'm lazy. Glory. Set me free. And Jesus didn't quote chapter and verse, did he? He just said it's written. Hallelujah. Okay. Where is it written now? 23? Exodus 7? Okay. Exodus 23. Okay, it's also in Exodus 23, 29. Yeah, okay. Look, Exodus 23, 27. I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. That's talking about the demons now, see. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before you. Now, see, a lot of times in prayer we loose the hornets. See, I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. Okay? You get that? See, it's a process. Okay, it's a process of deliverance. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, let's talk about the heavenlies. Oh, let's go back to Revelation 12. Let's do that. Praise God. Go back there for a minute. And one other thing I want to show you in Revelation 12, verse 16. That's where we got to. But the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to make 2 points there. Number one is that the earth helped the woman. And I said, God, what does that mean? If we're in the wilderness and the dragon's after us, what do we do to get the earth to help us? So, we dug around a little bit and hold your finger and or just listen. I'm going to go to Jeremiah 22:29, and it's where the message against Kaniah or Jehoiachin was cried out. And it was cried out. It says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. And then Moses cried out and to the earth and asked the earth to bear witness to his word. Earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. And what God showed me was this. We have many accusers out there, although God has hidden the true church away. Now, you see, they drive down the roads and the streets, and they look at buildings, and they say, there's a church, and there's a church, and there's a church. But we know better, don't we? Amen? See, we need to change our terminology. and quit teaching our children that that's a church. I worked on my grandchildren. I missed it with my children, but boy, with my grandchildren, I say, Wesley, now that's not a church, son. The people are the church. And he's getting it, see? And see, they look at the people that go in there and the hypocrites and so forth, and they say, well, that's the church. And that is the visible church. But the true church of God is hidden away in the wilderness among all of that junk. But the enemy knows where we are, and there are people in that false church that accuse us day and night. And I've learned one thing, that when that accusation starts coming at you from all those voices, I cry out and say, oh, earth, 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 swallow up those words. In the name of Jesus, of all those accusations that are being poured out, let the earth swallow up the words of the cursings and the accusations of those that speak against me. Hallelujah. And I believe that's what it means as to how the earth helped the woman. The earth swallows up the blood, and the earth can swallow up the water. Amen? Now look at verse 17 again. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. Hello, rest of her offspring. Who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now who does he make war with? The rest of her offspring who do what? Who is her offspring? Her offspring is those who keep the commandments. That's the offspring. No one else. Unless I keep his commandments, I'm not the offspring. Amen? All right. If I keep his commandments, what's going to happen? War. Who does he make war with? Those who keep his commandments. Now, if you're not at war, there's something wrong. Because he doesn't war. He does. You know, I had a minister tell me a few weeks ago, it just seems to me, Brother Bell, that churches that get into this warfare thing just have more problems. I think, brother, it'd be better, you know, if you back off this a little bit. No way. It'll work. You quit keeping the commandments, and things will go better without Coca-Cola. But if you start keeping the commandments and walking in this thing, he will make war against you. And you'll have to learn warfare. You'll have to beat your plow into a sword. You'll have to do it. Amen? Okay. Praise God. Now, something else we want to get at here. The place for us to get is in the realm of the heavenlies. And brethren, if we can ever get there and stay there, hallelujah. Because that's where the evil one can't touch us. Now, how many heavens are there? Huh? Three. Okay, there's third heaven, second heaven, first heaven. Right? If a man can get caught up into the third heaven, that must mean there must be a first and a second heaven. Amen? Okay. So, hallelujah. Where are we mostly? First heaven? Yeah. Okay. Realm of the Spirit. So what's this realm here? Soul or second heaven is the realm of what? Principalities, powers. Okay? Now, okay. When I, more than just positionally, when I walk in this realm, it's all under my feet. See, in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right? We can go to Ephesians. We can talk about being seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All that, we're in Him. But I'm after something else right now. Okay? I want to talk about principalities. Now see, the enemy's been cast out of the third heaven. He's come down to the earth. He's mad, he's angry, and he's working against us. And so in every realm that he can work in, he works. And this is his realm, roaming about on the earth and so forth. But I want to talk about principalities, something that the Lord showed me about principalities. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but what? principalities, powers, and all these things. Now, let's go over to Romans 8th chapter, verse 38, and quickly go through some scriptures here. He says, "For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come," in other words, "shall be able to separate us from the love of God." All right, first of all, brethren, see that that principalities cannot separate you from the love of God. They can't keep you from being loved by God. The love of God, the agape, benevolent care of love, as Finney called it. All right? Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. Talking about Christ Jesus, seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above what? All principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that in that which is to come. So Jesus is seated far above. I'm going to put a seat up here. Far above this. All right? Ascended to the Father, cleansed the sanctuary, and is set down at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality and power. Now, turn over to chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 10. He wants us to see the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. All right? Now, who created the principality? Through Christ Jesus, the Father is the creator of principalities and powers. Amen? Yeah. Now learn this, church, because this is going to be a tool of warfare, if you see it. All right? So the Father created the principalities and the powers, and it says here, to the intent that the many variegated, many-sided wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers. That it's the work of the church down here to let these principalities know what the many variegated, the many-sided, manifold wisdom of God really is. We are the one that brings the revelation to the principalities and powers about the third heaven. Hallelujah. Okay. Now let's go on a little more. Chapter 6, verse 12, we don't need to turn there. What do we do with them? Church, we wrestle with them. Something that's intimate, something that's a struggle, something that's close contact. When you wrestle with somebody, you feel them. You touch them, you smell them. They sweat on you. The whole bit. It's a close contact thing. We wrestle with them. Not with flesh and blood. All that Satan likes to keep us in the first heaven. But see, we're pressing up. And to get into the third heaven, we got to go through the second heaven. And that's where they principally are. And if we don't wrestle with them, we don't walk in heavenly places. There is no church. They can confess it all day long. I'm in heavenly places. But I don't believe a Christian can have a demon. They're never going to be in heavenly places. Never. Never. Never.
Some of you are looking at me like this. I'll be glad when this is over.
We don't like to fight. But if we don't, we're not going to make it. And God will let us die off, and He'll wait till the next generation gets up and puts their armor on and does this thing. I'm going to do it. I'm determined. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to quit. One way, He's going to kill me. He can't do that. But I'll lay down my life for it. I'll let it be known on tape. I'll lay down my life for this thing. And if you're serious about it, you might as well say the same thing. Hallelujah. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What kind of deal is that? And now I'll just come back. This is mine. I don't want to fly away. I want to stay. Hallelujah. This is my inheritance and your inheritance. Why do you want to go somewhere? And listen, by the way, I'm already in heaven. I died and went to heaven about 9 years ago. What? Oh, where is heaven? Oh, boy, I want to go there. Streets of gold. Yeah, hallelujah. I like what Varner says. Well, you're the street of gold. You're the way. Hallelujah. Now, Colossians 1:16. I like to dig around in the Bible like this. Talking about Jesus again, it says, "For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." Hello, Mr. Principality. Listen to us now. You were created for Jesus Christ's sake. Well, how can such a thing be? Look at chapter 2, verse 10. "And you are complete in him who is head of all principalities and power." Well, hello. Who's in charge here? Jesus. Driving down the road one day a while back, and saw this sign out the edge of town. I think the first time I ever saw a big one was at Knoxville, Tennessee. It said, "Jesus is Lord of Knoxville, Tennessee." And I said, that can't be. But scripturally, it's true. He is. Now, brethren, I'm trying to lay this out in a way you'll understand it. What the Lord has shown us is that principalities primarily rule over cities, over states, over countries, nations. See, there'll be a principality. In other words, there's a principality that's been assigned to Hot Springs, Arkansas. See? And you'll drive into a city and you'll feel something different. If you're sensitive at all in the spirit, you'll begin to know that, hey, you know, this is... You feel the spirit of a city. You know. All right? That's a principality that you're rubbing against there. And, you know, if you study the Old Testament closely, the devil has assigned spirits to everything. Every hill, every river, every mountain. There's places where Satan has assigned a spirit domain to that particular geographical location. It's in the Word. I'll not take time to go through it, okay? Are you with me? For instance, I don't know whether I shared this before or not. When I went back up to Illinois to my home state for the first time, I was leaving my hometown going on up to preach at Hegwich. And I was going out northwest of McLeansboro there, and there's a curve out there about 4 or 5 miles out of town called the Delafield Curve. And I remember growing up that a lot of people got killed on the Delafield Curve. And we were coming around that curve, and it's interesting to me, because one day my dad and I came by there when I was a teenager, and there was a man's arm laying out in the middle of the road. And what happened, this guy's driving around this curve, had his arm hanging out of the car, a guy kind of swerved on the curve, come over and sideswiped him, cut his arm off, and he died instantly of shock, blood loss. And the thing about this curve is, it's wide open. I mean, you can see all the way around the curve. There's no trees, no bushes, nothing. You can see, it's just a curve in the road. And all this came to me. I said, "Lord, what is this?" And the Lord said, "There's a demon here." And I said, "Really?" "Yes." "So he's the demon of the Delafield curve." And I said, "Well, I'm going to bind him." The Lord said, "No, you won't. Leave him alone." I said, "But Lord." He said, "Leave him alone." I said, "Why?" He said, "I'm leaving that to the local church. That's not your authority. That belongs to the local church here." And you know, the first sermon I ever preached in my life was a mile from there at the Delafield Baptist Church. And I missed my chance. miss my chance. Because I drove right by him for years, never saw him. But there he is. Probably still there. Now, therein is one of the bottom lines of this whole thing, brother. Therein is the bottom line of this whole thing. Now, we can cast out demons out of one another, and we can do some basic things, but the big war is going to take an organized army that speaks the same thing, thinks the same thing, of one spirit, one Lord, one baptism. That's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take. Now, we're not done here yet. Colossians 2:14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now, what did Jesus do? He's ahead of these things. He did something else. What? He disarmed them. He took away their weapons. On the cross, they've been disarmed. So how do they work? Deceit. Deceit, seduction, sorcery, and witchcraft. But they have been disarmed by Jesus. And the people that finally figure that out and do something about it, well, praise God. Now, let's go to Titus, the 3rd chapter, 1st verse. Am I right on that? Yeah. Paul exhorts and says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Now, we're going to cross over a line here, brother, and I want you to see something here. A principality can be something visible on the earth. And those principalities that have been set over us, we are to obey them and be subject to them. For instance, who's the most prominent principality in the United States of America? President Reagan. Amen. We go back to Daniel 10, the Prince of Persia. The Prince of Persia was a principality, but he was also a man. And there was something in the heavenlies that empowered him to fulfill his authority. Amen. Now, look at this. What is a principality? Well, a principality is an influence. Now, how many in here has ever personally... Well, I'm not going to ask you. Some of you probably have. How many has ever shaken hands with President Reagan? Brother Glenn has.
Prayed for him twice.
Prayed for him twice. Okay. Now, has President Reagan ever come down to the camp?
No.
Has he ever given you any suggestions on how to run the camp?
No.
You never talked to him about the camp?
No.
Okay. Any of you talked to President Reagan about some of the problems in your house, your home? Wrote him a letter once. Did he write you back? Yeah. Okay, he didn't write you back. But here's the point. Most of us have never even seen the guy, but he has an influence on our life very personally. Doesn't he? We can't deny it. President Reagan is an influence in our personal life. Now, that's the way a principality works. You don't see it. You can't particularly touch it. But it affects you in a personal way. It's an influence. All right? Now, it's not so much a direct influence as it is an indirect influence. It's like the influence of the world system. All right? So you live in Dallas like we do. It's a city full of commerce. It's a city where everybody is status conscious. They're conscious about what kind of car they drive, what kind of job they have, what kind of clothes they wear, all those things. And we've got these real glamorous shopping centers, high-priced places, Saks Fifth Avenue, Marshall Field, Bloomingdale's, Macy's, all of this, all, you know, going on there in Dallas. Mercedes, limousines driving all over North Dallas. It's really something. Movie stars running in and out. JR running up and down out there. We live about 10 miles from the ranch. You know, what's the name of that place? South Fork, you know, where they do all the movie making out there. And helicopters go over our house every once in a while on the way to South Park, taking somebody out there, you know. And, brethren, you live in that and you say, well, what's that got to do with me? It's a principality that affects you whether you like it or not. It's there. You live under it. And it will seduce you and it will affect you. It will influence you. And that's what principalities do. You walk in a church and there'll be a principality there in that church and you'll feel it. There'll be a spirit there and it will affect you and it'll influence how you praise, how you worship, and it'll affect you. Are you hearing me? You walk in someone's home and you'll feel something. You'll either feel peace or you'll feel confusion or you'll feel something. That's how principalities work. And all of us are affected by principalities. They are seeking every minute of every day to influence us. Now, here's another biggie. I might have a problem with this, but God showed me this. I, as a person, cannot just come into Little Rock and bind the principality of Little Rock, Arkansas, or of Hot Springs, Arkansas. You hear me? Now, here's what I can do. I can come in and I say, now, look, dude, you leave me alone. I'm going to get under the blood and I'm going to walk clean. You're not going to touch me. But as far as what else he's doing here, he just does his thing. But let's say God sent me here and said, okay, I want you to raise up a people here and we're going to bind that dude up. And I'm telling you, this town will have the greatest revival that ever happened. Can you see this? See, a lot of deliverance people are saying, I bind this and I bind that, but, well, go ahead, but you're not going to. See, now, the Lord may send one man into a country where there's unbelief and darkness, and he may give that man the authority to do something there. And I guarantee you, every revival that's ever happened in any nation or any country has happened because something happened in the heavenlies, in the second heaven, and the principalities got bound up. And the Spirit of God was just loosed, and praise God, people didn't have a chance. I think that's what happened with Finney. See, those men went ahead of him and they preached. They prayed for days and days and fasted. And what did they do? They bound up the principality over that town and people would just fall out in the spirit. What's the sister's name? Mariah Woodworth Edder. In her ministry. Powerful ministry. Yeah, in this town. And she'd go into town and people would fall out in the spirit in their homes and lay out for 2 or 3 hours. They hadn't even been to the meeting. And they'd get up saved. Because they'd go, the Spirit would carry them off and show them hell. And when they'd wake up and say, oh, I'm saved. I'm saved. Because the principality was bound. And the Spirit was able to move and be poured out on the whole city. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he brings three things, doesn't he? Why? Conviction of sin is the first one. When he really comes, he convicts any sin in the camp. Brother, that's where he lights on it. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Now, brethren, that's why we have the days got to come where we come together, get in agreement, get at one, flow in love, and God is going to release more authority for us to demonstrate to these things the manifold wisdom of God, which is to bring them down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, see, I could go a little further with this, and I think I will, and then we'll start winding up here. Turn with me to James. Boy, I'd like to teach. I'd like to get in this area. I thought maybe the Lord's going to let me get in this area of lust. But not that I'm going to lust, but that I was going to teach. Hallelujah. James 1, verse 14. The Lord's got a sense of humor. He made me. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust, desires, and is enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. And simply, I want to say this. See, a principality is an influence. And if I've got demons in me, which basically is influences themselves and desires and lust, covetous, thou shalt not covet, there's another whole teaching, because that's a big one, especially among Americans. And I come under the influence of principality, and there's something in me that that principality can touch. He'll stir that thing up in me and get me desiring something I shouldn't, and I'll get pregnant. See, it's a counterfeit of what God wants you to do, is get pregnant with the Word of God, but it's enticed, and when it desire, when this lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And the end result of sin is what? Death. See, so eventually, if a person doesn't get delivered, he'll always be affected by the principalities he's under. He'll just be like a reed. He'll be like a chameleon. He'll just be where, when he's in Rome, he'll do as the Romans do. If he goes in a place where the big thing is to surfeit and drink and so forth, he'll just be kind of drawn in to do that. And maybe his religious spirits won't let him. That's what the devil will do. See, he'll put one spirit in you that'll let you, and the other one that won't, and they'll war in you. And so he'll use that to seduce you into these things. And then, see, it'll conceive sin. And what's sin? It's stepping across the line. It's missing the mark. And then when I step into sin, see, I open the door for more things, and sin begins to work. It's a living thing, see. It's a conception of a person sort of thing in me. And when sin begins to work, its ultimate goal is one thing, and that's death. And see, once sin begins to work, then the spirit of death, which is a principality, the spirit of death will reach down out of that principality and bring you into its house and get you to make a covenant with it. And I know by the Spirit of God, some of you have done that in here ignorantly. I'd be better off dead. Man, I just wish sometimes I could die and just go on and be with the Lord. You've just made a covenant with death, with your own mouth. Can you hear me? And death comes, and that spirit and veil comes and settles over your life, and you don't know you're in it. And you're in a fog, and you don't know it. And that principality just follows you around, and you live in the house of death and hell until that thing is dealt with. We make vows and covenants that we don't realize and open the door to the enemy for grounds in our life. Don't ever say, I wish I were dead. Don't ever say, well, I'd be better off dead. Or it'd just be better off the Lord to take me. Don't ever say that. You are making a covenant with death. And if you have done that, we need this afternoon to break that covenant with death and rebuke those spirits and cast out death. Because, see, once sin gets to working in your mortal body, it will produce death. And how does death, how does a body die? Sickness and disease. See, brethren, I don't believe we're called to die of sickness and disease. That's not the covenant we're under. Now, I don't preach never die. Don't get me wrong. But praise God, it'd be all right with me if I didn't. I do preach eternal life. Amen? And see, once that sin, the only thing that's killing you is sin. And the way sin got in was through your own desires, your own lust that allowed sin to come in. And all the demons that work there, and you know, well, they're many and variegated and so forth, but that sin gets in, and then death is the only outcome. The wages of sin is death. And that's where cancer comes from, that's where everything comes from, see, is right there. And that's how this system works. Amen. Now, let's go back and finish this up. Remember what I told you to begin with. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of John, the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. But early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. When they'd set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Brethren, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And so if you're down on yourself, it's just you. It's not the Lord. Because you're bought by the blood. And see, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For the worshipers once purged would have no more consciousness of sins. No more consciousness of sins. So let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, brethren, the primary deliverance that I believe God wants to bring here today is in this one particular area of self-rejection, self-condemnation, guilt, sin consciousness. I'm no good. I'm unworthy. You're not unworthy, because he says you're not. You're worthy in him. And if nothing else happens here today, but that you get free of that constant accusation against yourself, brother, we'll have a great deliverance. So put your Bibles down. And the Lord wants to set us free today to be his people, to walk in liberty and freedom, that we might wage a good war. I told you the story how God sovereignly delivered me of rejection. How in a hotel room in Houston, Texas, at the end of a meeting, I was so stirred up I went to bed. And to make a long story short, the Lord gave me an open vision, took me back into my mother's womb. I was 8 months term. I knew that. I just knew that. I said, "Honey, you're not going to believe this, but I see myself in my mother's womb. She's 8 months pregnant. I'm turned down in her womb. My back is turned down. And I know that my father's trying to abort me because they've had an argument and he's got drunk." And the impact of that realization that my father tried to kill me, and that was where the spirit of rejection came in, was so strong that it devastated me. I fell out of bed. I literally fell out of bed on the floor, weeping, shuddering, and shaking. And I said, "God, I forgive them. I forgive my mother and father. I forgive them. I've always been embarrassed about my parents. I'm embarrassed because my dad came out of Kentucky, and they were poor. They were moonshiners. My great-grandfather and my grandfather were moonshiners. And my grandfather moved up to Northern Illinois. He's a dirt farmer. My mother's parents there in McLeansboro were, I was just embarrassed. I was the first one to get a college education out of our family. And I was going to go on and be somebody. And I just was embarrassed. I thought, well, how could I ever be anybody coming from that? You know? And I'll just be honest with you. I don't want to dishonor her. But I've always thought my mother was ugly. And he used to embarrass me. Just show you my heart. And I thought, and there I was laying on the floor, realizing all this rejection, trying as best I knew how to forgive them. Because I realized they were just kids. And God spoke to me almost audibly while I was laying there. He said, "Son, I gave you life, not your parents. They were just vessels that I used to get you. But I gave you life, and I preserved your life from the womb. And son, I love you." And right there, I knew what my paternity really was. I knew right then I'd been born of God. I was in a new family. The order of Melchizedek. No family tree. No beginning. No ending. I was in eternal life. And I'm telling you, when that revelation hit me, I was laying on the floor and phlegm and stuff just literally went out of my mouth about that high. And just all over the rug, all over my face. I don't know what all left me. But I got a mighty deliverance on the floor. And I'll tell you what, brethren, for about 3 weeks, I didn't know who I was. I mean, there wasn't anything to relate to in there. Because I'd always been that rejected thing. And all that was gone, and my personality was just, that old personality was just devastated. And I'm telling you, some of you will go home and you'll feel raw and you'll feel a little disoriented trying to get established because a lot of things old familiar friends have left, see, that have helped you. I've got a teaching I like to do sometimes on how demons work for us. They'll help you if you let them. And so don't be worried about being a little confused or maybe a little dingy for a few days, you know. Just get in the Word, get the Word in you, and let it begin to get sowed in there and begin to get incarnated in you. Become more like Jesus, who was the Word, who is the Word. See? Hallelujah. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, now I bind the strong man and every person in this room. Just bow your heads a moment. Get before the Lord. Tell him you want delivered of rejection. Lord, rejection of myself, self-condemnation, self-criticism, irrational guilt. Lord, I want out from under that. In the name of Jesus, I curse the root of rejection from my mother's womb. You'll bear no more fruit. And even as Jesus cursed the fig tree, I curse you, rejection. Today you're going to leave me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now let me just pray for you now. Just open up and receive. Some of you already are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's a mighty anointing here. Mighty anointing for this. I bind the principalities and powers right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I bind you spirits of rejection now. That strong man of rejection, I bind you. I cut off your hold in the mind, in the soul of every person in this room. I bind you. Now you spirits begin coming out. That rejection of father, rejection of mother, rejection from the womb. Come on out. Come on out, rejection. Come out. I cast you out. All that self-condemnation. All of that guilt, all of it, come out, come out, come out. Come on out, right now, in Jesus' name. All that shame, the bastard spirit, come out. The bastard spirits, come out. Jesus' name, I break your hold. Come out of these people. Come out of God's people. Get out. I break every curse, every hold. Come out. That's it. Go, demons. Go, demons. Loose. I loose these people. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, from rejection, self-condemnation, self-criticism. Come on, all the way out. All the way out. By the roots, demons. Come out from the roots. Come out from the roots. In the name of Jesus. Come out from the roots. Accusers. I rebuke the accuser today. Get out. Get out. Get out of our heaven. You've been cast down, Satan. The adversary's been cast down. Get out. You have no more place. You're a deceiver. You're a trespasser. Get out, demons. Get out, Satan. Get out, Satan. Get out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, all the way. All the way, rejection. All the way out. All the rejection. Rejection of mother. Rejection of father. Rejection of peers. Rejection. Go. Out. Out. Leave rejection. All that rejection. All the sorrow and grief of rejection. Go. Come on. All the way. All the way. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Loose him, demons. Loose him in the name of Jesus. Come on, all that rejection of his father. I break the power of that. All the rejection of his father. All that rejection in Jesus' name. All the hurt that came from the father's indifference and coldness. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I break all the power of the rejection, the imprint of rejection. Loose my brother. Loose him. All that rejection from his father. All of that. Come out. All the anger, resentment, hurt. Come on, loose my brother. Come on, that's it. Come on, get out of him. Get out of him. Get out of him. Get out of my brother. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Come on, all that rejection. All of it. Come on, all the toughness, hardness that came from it. All of it. All of it. Come on, all that hardness and toughness. Loose my brother. Loose him. All that father rejection. Come on, out, 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 out. All the macho. Go, 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 and loose my brother. Come on, that's it. All that rejection of his father. Go, 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 go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Go. Keep going. Keep going. That's it. Keep going. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Set him free, Lord Jesus. Set him free. Come on, all the way. All of it. All of it out. All of it out. Come on, all of it out. I free him today. I free him from your hold, Satan. I break that control. I break that self-control. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. In Jesus' name. That fear of hurt. All the pain. All the pain. Go, go, go. Loose him and go. Loose my brother and go. In the mighty name of Jesus. That's it. All the hurt. All the pent-up sorrow. All the pent-up emotions. Go, go, go. All the hardness. Come on. All of the law enforcement spirits. Come out of there. Come out of there. Come out of there. All those leadership without love. Come on. Go, 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 go. Leave him. Leave him. Leave him. I free him today. That's it. Go. Go. In Jesus' name. Go. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Loose my brother. Oh, I free him today. I free him today, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just keep it going. Praise. Praise. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Keep going, demons. All the way out. All the way out, demons. Go, 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 go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I cast out you spirits of rejection, hardness, coldness, bound up emotions. I break the hold on the emotions. The bound up emotions. Go, go. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Loose, loose, looser. Looser now. Looser, I break your whole rejection. Come on, get out of her. Get out of her. Come on, that father rejection. That father rejection. You loose this daughter. You loose this child of God. Looser, demons, come on, go. All the hurt, all the pain, all the questions, all the doubts about who she is. In Jesus' name, all of that shame, all that illegitimacy, I break that curse and hold on her. Come on, go, go. Come on, go. Go, all the same, go. Come on, that's it, leave. Leave. Leave rejection. She's loved, beloved in the Father. Come on, go. Go, go, go. In Jesus' name, go. Keep going. Keep going in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I break your hold here, Satan. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Why don't you hold her? Y'all hold one another. Minister to one another. Come on. Hold one another. Minister to one another. You guys minister to each other. Get down there by and minister to them. Minister to each other. Come on. Love one another. Minister to each other, Corey.
When you were talking about that, I just felt this something felt me and just locked me up. I gritted my teeth.
Okay. In Jesus' name now, that hardness, that toughness, you're false. Now you come out of Corey. I break your hold, that control. Your control spirit, I break your hold right now. Come on, that control, I break your hold. The anointing of the Lord breaks it. The yoke is broken of control. That self-control because of father rejection. Come on. Come on. All the father rejection. I break your hold. Now go. 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 Come on. All the father control. All the father rejection. Go out of Corey. Come on. I break your hold of control. Come on. Leadership without love. No love. Authority. I break that hold of that authority without love. In Jesus' name. Come on. Go. 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 I break that hold of that authority without love. That discipline. That self-discipline that's not of God. You're false. Get out, demon. Get out, demon. Get out, demons. Come on, demons. Go. 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 And loose him. Loose him, rejection. Loose him, rejection. Come on. All that rejection from his father. I break its power. Go. 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 All the shame. All the hurt. Come on. That deep hurt. That deep wound. That hurt. That's buried here. Come on. Go. 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 Out of Corey. Come on. Out. Out. Loose him. Loose my brother. Come on. All the rejection from men and the father. From men. In Jesus' name, from drill sergeants and other men. In Jesus' name, fear, 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 fear of being a queer, fear of being a homosexual, fear, come on, fear of loving men. Come on, go, go, out of Corey, come on. Fear, fear of caring, fear of feeling. Come on, I break that wall, that stony wall of heart. Come on, loose him, I break that control. Come on, move out rejection, come on. I break down that wall, come on, go, out of him. Out of him, rejection. Out of him, father rejection. Go. Go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Go. Come on. Keep going, demons. Come on. Keep going. You got to loosen. You got to loosen. Come on. Go. 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 In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I love you, Corey. I love you, son. I love you, Corey. I love you with the love of the Lord, Corey. I love you, son. Jesus' name, I love you. I love you, son. Praise you. The Lord loves you. Father loves you. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, loosen your objection. Come on, you got to loosen. I love you like a son in the Lord. Loosen. 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 Come on, that inability to receive love. That inability to give love. Come on. Get out of court. Come on, I break that control. That controlling spirit, I take away your control. That father rejection. That rejection by authority. That wouldn't love him. Just tell him what to do. Come on. I break your hold. I just break your hold. I break the hold. Come on. Come on. Of all that lovelessness, of all that hurt, hardness, come on. Come out of there. You got to go, demon. You got to go. I break your hold on this man today. Loose my brother. In the name of Jesus. Come on out. All of it. Go. Go. Out of Corey. Come on. Move. Move. In Jesus' name. Get out. Get out. In the name of Jesus. I break your hold, Satan. I break your hold. Now go, demon. Come on out. Go. Go. Your hold is broken. You've got to go. You haven't worked out the blood of Jesus. I chastise you with the blood of Jesus. Chastise you. Bind you. From the.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.